So again, this is just a portion of scripture that I've been studying out, and it's brought this question that I not only ask myself, but I ask you this morning as well, and it's also the title of the message: what kind of people does God use? And so we kind of find a little of this answer in 1 Corinthians here, and we'll just read 26 through 31. Again, it says, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised God has chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him ye are called in Christ Jesus, that are in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according to as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." So here in these verses, it's kind of a paradox that I believe Paul is bringing out. It's the power of God wrapped up in human weakness. And again, Paul will reveal two points to us. First, he says the few, and then second, he uses the majority. And so we've seen that in verse 26, where Paul here is reminding the believers in Corinth of who they were before they were called to be servants of Christ. And we've seen that Paul pointed out that not many were wise, not many were noble, and not many were mighty. You know, as we read throughout the scripture, we read of people being used in spite of their failures. And some of these were people like Moses, who was a shepherd, yet he was a murderer. Yet God used him for his glory. People like Gideon, who was nothing more than a farmer. Zacchaeus, tax collector. And then Simon Peter, who denied Christ three times. But yet, after he denied, Peter went on to be a great servant of the Lord. And I know we can't all relate to everything that these gentlemen did, but there's things in our lives that we can relate to. But doesn't that seem to be the way that God works? I mean, are we not failures in certain aspects? You know, I'm a failure sometimes in my kids' lives. Work, we can be failures. As a parent, as a child. But this is how God works. He takes our failures and he uses them for his glory. And isn't that great to know that God uses regular folks like you and I to bring him glory? You know, we don't need to be way up here. And you know, again, verse 29. If we revert it back to verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And so even in our failures, we can still bring glory to God. God still receives the glory. You know, I made mention earlier in our presentation that if someone was to ask me 5 years ago that I would be standing in front of you on my way to Canada, I would have said, "You're crazy. There's no way." And this is not the road that God, that I had me on. If I can back that up, this is not the road that I had myself on. And being a mechanic there, working for Penske Truck Leasing back in Indiana, almost 10 years of employment, I had a pretty nice job. But it reminds me that my footsteps are guided by the Lord. And being under his control isn't always going to be what I think it's going to look like. And so it just reminds me that my plans are not God's plans. So what type of people does God use? In verses 27 and 28, we read that God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. So here we've seen that Paul has called the few, and then his second point to us is the majority, which in Paul's second point, we'll see five characteristics that Paul will pull out that I believe we can all relate to in our walk with Christ. The first thing that Paul points out is our foolishness there in verse 27. And if we can, just a little explanation We'll start in verses 20 through 25, going back to the believers there in Corinthians. It says in verse 20, "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God chosen the foolish wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews required a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." And again, back to, you ever been called a fool? No? Honesty. It doesn't feel too good to be called a fool. When you leave a job, when you do something that the world's looking at you, your coworkers could be looking at you, and they just, you're a fool for doing this. You know, missionaries could be called a fool, and even being called to the ministry field, the world just doesn't see that. As Scripture points out, you know, the Greeks or the Jews required a sign. The Greeks, it was a stumbling block to them. Foolishness. We can also look at the life of Billy Sunday. Back when he started his ministry, see, he never attended college. He never attended a graduate school. But yet, he was used mightily to advance the kingdom of God. It's estimated that he brought to Christ over 1 million people. Over 1 million people came to Christ because of Billy Sunday, leaving his profession as a semi-professional baseball player. He was a YCM clerk. You know, to the world standard, that was foolishness. But Billy Sunday did it. And there's one thing that Billy Sunday, because I'm no Billy Sunday, but if there's one thing that we have in common, that is winning souls to Christ. And that should be our common goal as Billy Sunday as well, is to bring lost souls to Christ. Again, God's taken me from north central Indiana, a little town just north of Kokomo, Indiana, if some might know where that's at. And took us from there, and he took us to Minnesota, brought us to Wisconsin. And again, he's guiding our footsteps, and he's taking us into Canada. And then the second characteristics we see are the weak things. Illustration of this would be Gideon in the book of Judges, chapter 6, 12, 14 through 16. Many of us know the story of Gideon. But what I wanted to capture was the Lord called him a mighty man of valor. And if you read the story of Gideon and you understand and you see the words mighty man of valor, but then you go down further and it says, but I'm the weakest in my family. I'm the smallest in my family. Gideon was not a leader. Gideon was fearful as the Midianites were coming down and destroying the Israelites. God took 3,000 people down to 300. And Gideon was successful that day. Why? Because he had the power of God. He had the Spirit of God operating in him. Again, Gideon was a weak man, but yet the Lord used him mightily to secure a victory. And then the third thing he chose, the characteristic we see, was he chose the lowly things. In Matthew chapter 1 is the genealogy of Jesus. And because of time's sake, the short version goes like this. So-and-so begat so-and-so, and this person begat so-and-so, or that person. But what we want to see there is four names, four women. Two of them were prostitutes, one was born on the wrong side of the track, and one was an adulteress. And this is how our Lord and Savior came to this world. God used these low statue, low of importance women to bring the Savior into this world. And that should paint more of a picture when we reread verses 27 and 28. And then the why question appears. Why did God do this? Verse 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence. Again, God gets all the glory. And isn't that why we're here today? To receive not glory for ourselves, but to deflect it back to God and say, because of where we are, it's only through God that we can give him the glory. And then the fourth characteristics are the despised things. In 1 Samuel 17 is the story of young David and Saul going to battle to fight Goliath. Many of us know the story of David and Goliath. David was a small man. Goliath was over 9 feet tall. He put a helmet of brass on his head. He armed him with a coat of mail. He put a breastplate of brass on him. To get a mental picture, I use my son Corey as an example of him wearing all of my snowmobile gear. My big jacket, my pants, my boots, my helmet, my gloves. And then have him go out and play. It weighed him down. You know, you can just imagine the little guy running around. So we can imagine what David might have looked like. But what did David do? He took off that gear. He goes, I can't do this. I can't. I can't even walk. So he goes out. He takes his little sack, takes the 5 rocks, takes his little slingshot, and he goes out and secures that victory for Israel on that day. But David didn't do it alone. David did it through the Spirit of God. Again, it's showing us human weakness, God's power wrapped up in human weakness. So how much can you and I do when we operate under the Spirit of God? To be honest, to stand here in front of you today was a very nervousing experience. I've never been such a people person. But it's through the Spirit of God that I can stand in front of you today, deliver the word, and just challenge us all that when we act in the Spirit of God, we're unstoppable. Because it's pride and it's fear that's going to hold us back. When we let the Lord go before us, we can be conquerors. And just as we've seen in David. And then the fifth things are the nobodies. The Bible tells us that God created the world out of nothing. So if God created the world out of nothing, then you and I don't need to own or to do anything for God to demonstrate his power through us. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that has been, a dear verse to my own heart that we've been challenged. I can't do this. You know, I can't stand. And I heard this. I heard that the number one fear is speaking in front of people. People would rather die than to speak in front of people. And but it's out of fear. But again, I can do all things through Christ. I also read a saying that went something like this. It says, God created the world out of nothing, so as long as we are nothing, he can do something with us. So as long as we remain in a state of, you know, I can't do this without Christ, we will be successful. So if you don't think you're useful to God because you don't have much, think again. When you come to realize that we have nothing and God has everything, we can't bring anything to the table